after the SCOTUS decision, the Colorado GOP representative Lauren Boebert, who, by the way, just received Trump's endorsement, she's embattled in a new district, and other state Republicans are threatening to recall a recall effort on Colorado Democrats Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, which we played or actually quoted her ridiculous post on X yesterday following the Supreme Court's decision. A letter from Boebert and others say that Griswold failed and that her effort created a stain on our republic and an outright embarrassment to Coloradans and Americans, according to the Hill newspaper, which it did. Because, again, Colorado had no standing here. None of the reasons that were listed for this case are valid. None of them. So you have the Secretary of State wasting time and taxpayer money. And of course, it's election interference as well. So we'll see what actually happens there if the Republicans are able to get her removed. But I guess we'll have to wait and see. All right. I'm sure you'll have some thoughts on this as well, as we this will end up being a state battle should it get to that point. But joining us on the line right now is the Attorney General of the great state of Indiana, Todd Rokita. Attorney General, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. Great to be with you finally.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And we've been talking about this with the audience for some time. You've been on a tear, an absolute tear. I want to just start with the parent portal, because I think this is probably the thing that's getting you the most heat and is probably the most relevant and I think important issue that we're dealing with as a state. As I'm sure you're aware, Attorney General, last April, after many, many months of parents and others being active and gathering information, that data was handed off to Accuracy and Media. And Accuracy and Media did an undercover sting operation all throughout the state of Indiana. And they found numerous school districts intentionally lying to parents, lying to school boards, hiding illegal curriculum, and doing things that they were not allowed to do in public schools. All things that the parent portal is designed to expose. And yet, man, you've been called a communist, a fascist, a tyrant, all sorts of things, which I guess you're used to by now. But why did you come up with the idea of a parent portal? I have a theory, but why did you come up with the idea of a parent portal? And really, what's the gist of it and how do people use it?
Yeah, thanks for having interest in this. You know, let me start by saying that the Attorney General, honestly, the office doesn't have direct authority over schools. That's the Secretary of Education, who's appointed by the governor. Then the legislature has some oversight, too. And starting when I came into my first term here in 2020, we started getting complaints and calls about, and you have too, about CRT, mm-hmm. about social emotional learning and the training of the teachers and how that's really corrupt and is made to divide our kids and then furthermore divide our families, which is how you take down a free enterprise system, by the way, because a family unit, strong one, is the foundational building block of a free enterprise system where you learn individual responsibility, where you pass on values from an elder to a younger and those kind of things. And socialism hates all that. So I saw this really as a Marxist attempt here. Now, maybe those that are practicing it don't think of it that way or don't understand what they're about in a larger sense and what's happening when they practice these things. But nonetheless, I was getting this feedback from parents and the Accuracy of the Media that you mentioned, and many other places have exposed some of this. The Ed Portal is a companion to the Parents' Bill of Rights, which I developed now, and it's in the fourth volume. I did it for the same reasons. And even though I don't have direct authority over education, frankly, what I found, because I'm a pretty busy guy, we got a lot of things to do, what I found is no one else was doing it. Yeah, I agree. I'm not the Secretary of Education, but when the Department of Education doesn't act on these complaints from parents, when they have the Southern Poverty Law Center as an example of good curriculum on their own website,
yeah,
you know, I got very worried. So we created these tools, the Parents' Bill of Rights and the Follow-on Education Portal, to spread light, to create transparency, to stop the rumors. It's a two-way street. Some, you know, there are Karens out there. There are bad rumors out there.
Sure.
You know.
We've covered those too. Yeah.
Yeah. And these teachers and administrators that are crying foul, it shows you that is the problem. What in what world do you run a public school or do you teach in a public school and you expect to shield that information from taxpayers and parents? I mean, it's an unreasonable request. And any teacher who is worth a lick, and there are a lot of them out there, any teacher who's worth a lick and is proud of their lesson plan would also be proud to have it shown to anybody. So the educational portal is going to stay. I'm not taking anything down, even if it's proved to be an outdated practice by a certain school. I think it's important to keep that up there. And by the way, like you said, we'll put the teacher's response or the school's response up there too, so everyone can see it. But it's important that we not let, if this was a past practice, it's important that we don't let bad history repeat itself. And this shows what a school district was capable of, at least at one point. And by the way, a lot of these examples are current too.
Yeah. Well, in one of the school districts in particular, like, I've been very involved with the parents in helping to expose some of the stuff. Your office has been involved in investigations directly with the Penn Harris Madison School Corporation. They have, in fact, violated state law numerous times. They've been admonished by the state of Indiana. They have had critical race theory in the curriculum while denying that they had critical race theory in the curriculum. And it was proven that that was not true. And all of that was exposed because parents in PHM are organized, but they're not organized everywhere else. You know, you just happen to have a robust parent group in Penn Harris Madison School Corporation that have been willing to expose this stuff. But even with breaking the law and doing things that were a violation of state statute, like, the people who did it are still in office. They're still there. They're still doing things that are, you know, very shady. In fact, there's still other things that are happening there just the last week that may very well violate state law. But people only know about that because of the parents. And what is so different about having this education parent portal just with the Attorney General's office? What's so different than that than some of the public review sites where people can go and review the individual schools and the individual teachers and do it anonymously anyway? What's so different with your site versus those sites? Those things have existed for decades.
Right. Yeah. You know, they're just shocked, right? This other side of these leftists are just shocked that I'm actually using a public office, frankly, in a creative way that helps people. And it's certainly not characteristic for Republicans to do that with government offices, right? Now, the left, in a very sinister way, uses the apparatus of government, because it's their religion, to go after and weaponize. You see that with Trump. You see that with even me at the state judiciary level, where there's leftists trying to attack my law license. They can't get me at the ballot box. They try to take my law license away. That'll be another interview sometime. And here I am, not trying to weaponize anything, but just using it to expose and shine transparency on things, and their heads pop off because no Republican fights back. Very few, except for like Trump and a couple others. And certainly here in the state of Indiana, the governor has been laying down for a couple years. He's got a lay down Department of Education. You got a couple legislators that stand up, but even so, on education issues, the delegation in your neck of the woods, I don't know. I think there's some mixed results there.
There certainly is. I'll tell you what, I wanted to talk to you about the efforts to remove your law license. I got to take a quick commercial break. You hang on with us, and we can talk about that on the other side.
I got a lot of things to talk about too, but yeah, sure, if you want. I got to about 4:30 if you could do it.
Let's do it. All right, we'll go ahead and put you on hold. We'll take that quick break. We'll be back with the Attorney General Todd Rokita in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to The Burning Truth. Hey, good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to The Burning Truth. I'm your host, Casey Hendrickson, back with the Attorney General Todd Rokita. We're down to about 3 minutes or so, and I figured I'd just let you decide where we're going to go. Do you want to talk about the license issue? Do you want to talk about the sanctuary city thing? Or where do you want to go now, with this?
Well, I don't know if you're worn out from the Trump victory yesterday, but
no know, way.
Indiana led 27 states in what we call a friend of the court brief, arguing on behalf of the president and really any candidate who's similarly situated. And I'm in court every week fighting for Indiana and state and individuals here for states' rights against the overreach of the federal government in just about all things, especially with the Biden administration. There are some things that the founders, in their wisdom, their God-given wisdom, and I just have all the respect in the world for these men, put in the Constitution and the amendment as well. And in this case, the 14th Amendment, where they said, it was adopted about the time of the Civil War, where they said Congress shall decide what an insurrection is, and two, Congress should decide the eligibility of candidates for these particular offices, president and vice president. See, there's only two offices in this entire country, if you think about it, that every one of us as citizens who are over the age of 18 get to vote on, and that's president and vice president. So the idea, like here, that Colorado Supreme Court would dilute the voice of Hoosier voters by limiting a possible choice candidate, not necessarily on the Indiana ballot, but even if you limit it on the Colorado, limit him or kick him off the Colorado ballot or the Maine ballot or the Illinois ballot, like that judge was trying to do, you basically diminish the voice of a Trump voter in this case in Indiana. And that's wrong. And I'm really pleased that the Supreme Court, in a 9-0 decision that you never see, agreed with the points that we made to them as 27 states. And I was just very proud and thankful to be able to lead that effort.
Yeah, we're going to have you on again in the near future. If you don't want to, if maybe you want to do this like every month or every week, whatever you want to do, I'm happy to have you on whenever, because now the legislative effort to do exactly what you just talked about is underway. And it's going to make things very interesting for attorneys general all over the country. Attorney General Todd Rokita, thank you so much for the time. I'm going to call your office. We'll set something up on a regular. How about that?
Yeah, I'd love to do it. Thanks, right, man.
I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Todd Rokita, the Attorney General of Indiana, folks. More coming up.
Podcasts by Federated Media.